Hi, it's Rabbi Jim Egolf. I want to thank you so much for joining me this week. I had a great week. I just got back from learning with 13 to 15 other incredible and dynamic rabbis in Synagogue Transformation and Renewals Program, Good to Great, and just had a wonderful time. Did lots of good, solid growing and learning and studying, and it was just wow. Wow is the only comment I can make. And I'm back with you now, and this week we're going to take a look at Parshat Bahalotcha. We're going to talk a little bit about slander, but the problem with slander is that, gosh, it tends to revisit us too often, and we're going to take a look at some recent issues of slander in the press and in the Jewish community. You can always email me at rav, as in Victor, J-I-M, at AOL.com. You could call me on my Skype line, 610-624-3441, and I would love to be in touch with you. Again, thank you for joining me, and shalom. So in our Torah portion this week, Bahalotcha, we have a situation where Moses has remarried. However, his wife this time is a Cushite woman. And this leads to slander within the Israelite community, not just from the people, but even worse, from his own brother and sister, who are unhappy with his selection of spouse. This leads to them gossiping, slandering behind his back, that then leads to Miriam being afflicted with leprosy. In the midst of her leprosy, Moses is approached by Aaron, and Aaron pleads that Moses pray on Miriam's behalf. The prayer leads to Miriam being healed, and then we finally move into a point where, from this particular Torah portion, we learn that gossiping is really, really bad. And ties back into the whole issue that you get leprosy from gossiping. Well, tragically, we see some anger and bitterness of Jews towards Jews now, and has moved from words of slander like those of Aaron and Miriam to an attempt to be prophetic. Now, I want to remind you that a few years ago, there was a chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel, Bakshi Doron, who managed to offend most Reform Jews when in 1996 he compared the movement with the biblical Zimri, who was killed by another man, Pinchas, son of Eliezer, for sleeping with a Midianite woman. Bakshi Doron responded by dismissing the complaint as a publicity move, saying it was unthinkable that anyone would seriously consider his speech as an incitement to murder. He was attacked by the Reform movement again in 1999. After comments which Reform leaders claim compared Reform Judaism to the Holocaust. This is all from the questionable source Wikipedia. Well, from a more reliable source, this past month, the Jerusalem Post reported that Rabbi Norman Lamb, former president of Yeshiva University, said, quote, "With a heavy heart, we will soon say Kaddish on the Reform and conservative movements," unquote. He didn't stop there because, I guess, saying one offensive thing was not enough. He continued by condemning the ADL and the American Jewish Committee as organizations that did not have, quote-unquote, believing Jews on their staffs. I think he meant to say, Jews who believe my way and no other. Thus, he dismissed these organizations as not being true to his interpretation of Judaism. Of course, he doesn't seem to understand that it's his interpretation, as is the case with every movement, and for that matter, every synagogue, and sometimes every Jew. He also needed to take a shot at homosexuals by stating that while everyone should feel comfortable, quote, "I am opposed to saying publicly that homosexuals are welcome or accepting people who are openly gay and who campaign for a gay lifestyle, just as I would oppose someone who openly campaigns to desecrate Shabbat or to speak slanderously. So what I want to do with you is walk through these points, the death knells and those who speak of them, the notion of belief and the idea of don't ask, don't tell, but we'll see how much that really means. Or to put it more bluntly, be comfortable as long as you respect my right to make you feel uncomfortable. And I want to begin all this just by sharing with you, I spent this week living and learning the antithesis of Dr. Lamb's words. A year ago, I, with 17 Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox rabbis, went to a program put on by Synagogue Transformation and Renewal, or STAR. You would know STAR's work because they originated the idea of Cineplex. This past week was our Siyum, or completion of the course. We gathered to learn about ourselves, our souls, and explore our roles in our synagogues as the leaders who take care of and tend to the precious work that synagogues do. We did not talk about Kaddish for each other's movements, nor did we consider anything other than what each of us create, other than how each of us created life, possibilities, and Torah within our congregants and communities. We were excited to share and grow and learn, clearly things that Dr. Lambs considers to be indications of being in need of Kaddish. Now, one of the secrets about Kaddish is that while it is best known for being the prayer said at a grave, it is, in fact, a somewhat generic prayer for the end of something sacred, and it's tailored to specific times. That is why in a traditional Orthodox conservative service, there are many different Kaddishes. There's the half Kaddish that the cantor chanted this evening. There's the Kaddish Yatom, the prayer for the dead. And there's the Kaddish Derabbanan, a Kaddish for the rabbis, which is not what you think. It's not a Kaddish to say over dead rabbis. It's a Kaddish that's recited when a period of sacred learning has come to an end. I said this Kaddish to myself to praise God who had granted me the opportunity, and in thanks to my congregation, Beth David, for the time to find ways to make myself a better, stronger, and more faithful rabbi. Perhaps if Dr. Lamb had really wanted to be clear on his intellect, on his liturgical metaphors, he should have used El Mole Rachamim, which is only found in those memorial and funeral services. Which led me to wonder, why did he use Kaddish? I want to offer a guess, and this is only a guess, okay? I think that inasmuch as we have been in a fear-driven culture, Dr. Lamb wanted to use some of that fear for his own agenda. Why didn't he say El Mole Rachamim? I mean, clearly his followers and his community are very familiar with this prayer, but I don't think he was speaking to his community. I think he wanted to play on the lack of understanding found in many outside of his community. Hence, he used the reference to Kaddish. You see, the Orthodox movement is being challenged at the moment by various forces, including the situation reported in an article that appeared in Haaretz. Last week, in a landmark ruling, the High Court of Justice ruled that the principle of equality obligates the state to fund the services provided by non-Orthodox as well as Orthodox religious denominations. In response to a petition by the Israel Movement for Progressive Judaism, a panel headed by Supreme Court President Dorit Ben-Ish ruled that the state cannot discriminate against Reform conversion classes by providing funding only to Orthodox ones. The implications of this for Israeli society, indeed for world Jewry, cannot be overestimated. We are witnessing the beginning of the end of Orthodox hegemony. Increasingly, it has been Orthodox tyranny over Israel's Jewish populace. The forces of darkness are receding slowly, perhaps, but surely. Since the state's creation, the Orthodox rabbinate has held uncontested sway over all personal status issues, marriage, divorce, burial, and generally the privilege of determining who is a Jew. This arrangement was tolerable for a while, but now is breaking down. The rabbis made the classic blunder of overreaching. The centrist Jewish orthodoxy of the state's founding generation gave way to a stricter, narrower, hard-line ultra-orthodoxy, with Jewish law being interpreted in an ever more rigid and exclusionary fashion. The low point came last autumn when a rabbinical court in Ashdod, in a shocking, unprecedented, and halakhically questionable ruling, annulled a conversion retroactively 13 years after it took place, because the woman was not living an Orthodox lifestyle. The outcry in Israel was huge, and even the centrist Orthodox sector was outraged. That is from Haaretz.com. Even the Orthodox community is finding its leadership to be too strident and far-flung to accept what is going on in their community. Perhaps the need for Dr. Lamb to say such things in the press is due to the grasping for relevancy. In a world that does not capitulate to his point of view, with the power of the state of Israel behind it. In such a situation, it may be easier, but no more effective, to continue to assert that he, Dr. Lamb, is right and everyone else must be wrong. If Dr. Lamb checked his history books, he might find out that this was the very attitude and path that gave rise to conservative reform and Orthodox Judaism. The second statement I want to focus on is Dr. Lamb's comment. The people who have normally been speaking on behalf of Jewry have been secular and are not concerned with the Jewish religious point of view. It was a mistake for religious Jews to shy away. As a result, the ADL and the American Jewish Committee, who don't always have believing Jews on their staff, have dominated. Well, there are two problems with this statement. The first is that Dr. Lamb uses the phrase Jewish religious point of view. I know it is easier to live with blinders on, but Dr. Lamb insinuates that anyone who does not follow his views is either secular or lacks religion. Regardless of how great Dr. Lamb or his students think he is, he does not have a degree in mind reading. Or if he does, I now know where all those psychic readers are being trained. But I digress, and seriously, he speaks to things he cannot know. I'm religious. At the moment, whether you would label yourself religious or not, you're being religious. Or at least you're doing a really good job of pretending, for which I thank you. Ultimately, who knows what is in the heart of another, for even the halakhically observant Jew has violated the law of our country, which is also a halakhic violation of the precept, the law of the land is the law. Malchuta dina malchuta. It is reported that kosher meat processor Rubashkin faces 142 counts in a federal court. While Dr. Lamb may want to say Kaddish or El Moleh, his reaction to the Rubashkin situation was terse. This is from TheYeshivaWorld.com. It was, the funny thing is, if this, the situation at Rubashkin, happened in Israel, everybody would be praising the government for bashing the Frum Yidden. August 5th, 2008, 7:12 p.m. It is amazing that on the way to saying Kaddish, this is the response of Dr. Lamb to a moral situation and a gross violation of humans being created B'Tselem Elohim. Beyond Dr. Lamb, I know that several Orthodox Jews are offended when anyone uses halakha to justify behaving in a way that is outside of moral code. Even Nachmanides wrote that the charge, the mitzvah, Kiddushim Tehiyu, you shall be holy, was a catch-all mitzvah for every Jew. He went further, in an instance when the Torah does not speak to a particular act like child labor, the charge to be holy was the mitzvah to Jews exhorting us to do the right thing. Perhaps Dr. Lamb could have commented on this piece of Torah rather than turning it into the claim of an Orthodox witch hunt. The problem I have in my experience is that, well, I don't meet many Orthodox Jews or rabbis who feel the same way as Dr. Lamb. In fact, I find that many see the notion of a pluralistic Judaism as a given, and at times, a blessing to Judaism. Many have the ability to have a responsible and reasonable conversation. Some understand that it was views like the ones expressed by Dr. Lamb that caused the creation of liberal Judaism in the first place. That is, the obdurate unwillingness to have any tolerance for different ways of doing Judaism. We don't have to see eye to eye, but that should not stop us from having respect. Ezehu mikubad, hamikabed kol ish. Who is worthy of honor? He who honors others. This leads me to the last point, which is honoring others in an appropriate way. This shot at homosexuality, but more so Dr. Lamb's own criticism of what he has done. He writes, "Everyone should be made to feel comfortable. I would never exclude a person because his wife does not cover hair, or because he does not adhere to the laws of Shabbat, or because he is a homosexual. But I am opposed to saying publicly that homosexuals are welcome, or accepting people who are openly gay who campaign for a gay lifestyle, just as I would oppose someone who openly campaigns to desecrate Shabbat or to speak slanderously." My first reaction is that I was wondering where Don't Ask, Don't Tell came from. But as I read this response, it became apparent to me that Dr. Lamb's statements display an incredible tin ear. While he makes the following statements, and he dates his objection to speaking slanderously, just like the lesson from our Torah portion, except he doesn't always walk the walk. It was reported in jweekly.com, December 5th, 1997. But it was apparent in one of Lamb's offhand remarks in his speech that while tolerance may be a goal, it has its limits in practice. Lamb mocked the president of the Reform Movement's Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion for calling himself a Rosh Yeshiva, a term generally used by heads of Orthodox schools. Lamb also derided the Reform School for calling its part-time adult education program a kollel. In Orthodoxy, kollels are centers for adult men's advanced full-time study. "As soon as I finished saying that, I regretted it," Lamb later said. I could not tell if Lamb regretted deriding the president of the Hebrew Union College or for comparing the kollels to the programs going on in the Reform Movement. Either way, it seems that while being a staunch opponent of slander, his opposition is on a case-by-case basis. We should not look at this article or this man as a representation of all, or even the vast majority, or even a majority of Orthodox Jews or Orthodox rabbis. The truth is that there has been and will be diversity, and allowing one outspoken man to stand as its representative, its pope, if you will, or ascribing to someone this status, is as ridiculous as allowing any one Reform rabbi to stand as the paradigm of all Reform rabbis. It's simply not true. My hope is that regardless of who is right or wrong, who is ultimately correct or incorrect, we would all be able to recite the prayer of Moses, who prayed that God healed the affliction that Miriam sustained, that God heal the affliction of our various movements, that God heal the things that are wrong about us. This is a much better lesson than hearing the less than comforting message from Dr. Lamb. "Don't worry, we'll be here to say Kaddish for you." Shabbat Shalom.